the ABCs of how we learn, scientifically proven approaches, how they work, and when to use them. The authors seek to turn education theory into practice by going from A to Z with clear examples of approaches to learning. The book is based on a popular course at Stanford University. Joining us now is one of the authors of the book, Daniel Schwartz. He's dean of the Stanford Graduate School of Education. And Dean Schwartz, welcome to Here and Now. And let's talk about making for a second. As you write in your book, it's a great way to teach students how to use tools of various kinds. But as my story got into a bit, there are risks there. There's this push to have making feed into instructional goals. Doesn't that risk sort of sapping the fun and inspiration a little out of these hands-on projects?
Oh, yes. And the risk that suddenly making becomes a recipe and you're being told what to make. And so you're sort of, there's none of you in the product you're making. You're just doing what someone else told you. I think that's one risk. Mm. The other risk is, you know, making doesn't naturally lead you to understand that F equals MA or some calculus formula. It's kind of not what it does. It's really preparing you to have a lot of practical knowledge about how to accomplish things in the world. So I do worry about it's people trying to force it to accomplish something that it's really not perfect for.
Let's touch on a few other approaches that you talk about in your book, The ABCs of How We Learn. For example, letter A is for analogy. I mean, analogies were removed from the SAT in 2005 because they were criticized as being tricky and biased towards certain socioeconomic groups. You make the case that analogies really have a place in learning. Tell us why.
Oh, analogy is one of the biggest ways to learn deep principles. So one use of it is to provide an analogy. Like if I tell you, you know, the Earth's crust is a mile thick, you'll think, wow, that's really big. And then I say, by analogy, it's sort of like a peach skin around a peach. That's kind of how thick it is. Suddenly you go, oh, that's not thick at all. And so the analogy really helps you fill in this idea that was hard to get just by the single declarative statement.
Hmm. Okay, a few more of my favorites. T is for teaching. You point out that when students themselves learn to teach a subject, they learn more when they see their pupils answer questions and sort of find out what the audience actually learned from their presentation. Is that accurate?
Yes. Well, not to be too clever, but by analogy, teaching and making are close friends. Because in teaching, a lot of the learning occurs when you see how people respond to your instruction. So, you know, a lot of classes have presentations where students give presentations to the rest of the class, say they've done a project. Yeah. And this is kind of teaching the class. The problem with that approach is the student who gives a presentation never gets to see the rest of the class use what they got taught from the presentation. And so they've really lost an important piece of the benefits of teaching.
We'll talk a little more about that. What more can K-12 teachers do to improve those presentations and not make them just these little rote things that kids have to do and get a little nervous about doing?
Yeah, well, so that it really is teaching someone. So it's authentic. You have some responsibility. So, and then the class has to do something with what you've taught them, right? I think that raises the stakes. We found that students will spend almost twice as much time studying to teach someone else, and they will study to learn for themselves.
That's interesting. Another one, I is for imaginative play. Now, some camps might argue, oh, play, there's no pedagogic value to it. You make a strong case that imaginative play enhances learning.
What the evidence seems to suggest is it's not the play per se, but it's a lot of the social interaction around the play. So it's like reading a story with your child. You want your child to start to imagine beyond, but a little bit under constraint, like what will happen next in the story. And these kinds of things help the child stop being stimulus-driven, right? So play, imaginative play, you're creating your own world and you're not being driven completely by the thing in front of you. So a fork can become an airplane. Mm. And so social interaction can really help children develop this a lot and increase what's called executive function, their kind of abilities to maintain attention, keep things in mind when other things are going on around them.
I showed your book to a teacher friend who really liked it and said, look, this is laid out clearly, 26 examples, then the risks, and then the sources you use were clearly laid out. How do you want K-12 teachers to use this book, Dan?
It's to fire your imagination. Hmm. There's a lot of different ways that people learn. You know, there's different brain systems and they all have a different appetite. And so I wanted to provide people sort of with the science and these great examples that come from research of these are very effective ways that you could help people learn things that you might never have thought of. Now it's up to you to be creative and figure out how to put them in play.
Dan, do you think parents will get much out of the ABCs of how we learn?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think so. I think they'll probably start reading it, looking for things about their children. And then the kind of response I've gotten is people go, I've been trying to learn that way. That's a mistake. The examples sort of span from very, very young up through college. And so you'll bump into ones that are useful to you.
Daniel Schwartz, he's dean of Stanford's Graduate School of Education and co-author of the new book, The ABCs of How We Learn. Dan Schwartz, thanks a lot for talking with us.
You're awesome, Eric. It was great talking to you.